Okay, so my name is Tim Jones, and I'm conducting this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust and the One Another Project in Trafalgar Square, London. It's the 27th of August, 2009, and the time is 3:15 a.m. If I could ask you to tell me your name, your age, and where you come from, please.
Right. My name is Jasmine Morris, and I am 68, and I come from a town in Hertfordshire called Hoddesdon.
Okay, thank you. When was it you first found out about the One Another Project?
I think it was around about January or February time when they were bidding to get the plinth. I was following it on the news, you know, on the television. And, you know, that's when I first sort of was aware, because I'd been studying Anthony Gormley for an A-level art that I was doing.
So how was it you, or why was it you decided to go back and study for an A-level in art?
Well, I was teaching at the John Warner School in Hoddesdon. And our head teacher, Mr. Kennedy, was he was very encouraging for teachers to try other subjects rather than just the subject you're teaching. And if you can fit it in, you can sort of pop into lessons and actually study something else. And I mean, it has a knock-on effect, because it's very good for the kids to see that adults, you know, as old as me, can still study and still want to study. And it's also very good for me, because I can learn from them. They're a lot more sort of open-minded than perhaps I am now. So I had, I was about to retire for the first time, and walking along the corridor, looking at some of the GCSE art, and I'm thinking, that's rubbish. And I happened to say it to the art teacher. So she said, right, you try it. So I took the challenge and tried this A-level art. And it was absolutely fascinating. Just wish I had done it earlier. Because I see the world so differently now than I ever did.
And, yeah. And how would you say that your kind of perception, your vision has changed then?
Well, I'm much freer. I mean, I was attending watercolour classes, but and my teacher was excellent, but she was an illustrator. So my style of painting was very tight. Doing the A-level, people like Anthony Gormley and Patrick Hearn, I had never really thought of that sort of thing as being art. And it just totally changed me, because I was looking at small sections. Maybe how I came to be looking at Anthony Gormley's work was it was decay and erosion. And so I went up to Crosby Beach to look at the Iron Men, who are eroding and decaying in all sorts of wonderful ways. So I've done lots of painting, you know, around his Iron Men, but more looking at the rust and how the rust patterns and this sort of thing. So it's been fascinating. I would never have thought to paint rust or rotting wood before doing the A-level art. It's an absolutely brilliant experience.
And how does it feel to be part of one of Anthony Gormley's pieces?
Oh, fantastic, fantastic, because my granddaughter is with me today, Eleanor. I actually took her to the Hayward Gallery when he had the Iron Men stuck up on the roof all around London, you know, and people thought they were committing suicide. So we went to see his work there, and I think he's brilliant, absolutely brilliant. So I was a bit sceptical about the Angel of the North when I first saw it. I thought the wing, you know, his arms looked like the wings looked like a ladder, but I think it grows on you somewhat.
And what is it you're going to be doing on the plinth?
Well, actually, I'm not going up as a wife or a mother. I still got my mother alive, so I'm still a daughter or a grandmother. I'm going up as a Rotarian, which I am, and I'm going to be talking about the Thanks for Life project. I'm actually dressed completely in purple, because in February the 23rd next year, we are turning Hoddesdon purple. Well, I am actually turning Hoddesdon purple, and we're hoping to raise, Bill Gates has put money in, he's put $200 billion, and we at Rotary have got to match that for the total eradication of polio. And there's only four countries left to go, and this we want to happen by 2012. So, you know, that would be a moment in history if we've given the children of the world a polio-free world. And so I have this purple pinky, my little finger is painted purple to signify, it's a lovely story, because the children in the third world are given a biscuit when they've had the polio drops, they're a little bit bitter, and the biscuits were such a novelty to them, it's not something they have every day of their lives, And so they were going around again and getting double whammy of the polio vaccine, which obviously wasn't good. So to prevent that, they didn't mind them having another biscuit, but obviously to prevent them having double whammy of the polio vaccine, they painted their finger with gentian violet. And so they could see who had had the polio vaccine and who hadn't. So this is symbolic of our fight to eradicate polio. £1 will vaccinate 5 children. So that's what I'm going to be doing on the plinth and talking about it and talking about Rotary in general.
And can you expand a little bit on your personal association with Rotary?
Well, my father was a Rotarian, so my first, when I was about 12, so Rotary's been in my family for all that time. My husband is past district governor of District 1260, which is Hertfordshire, Bedfordshire and Buckinghamshire. I myself have been a Rotarian for nearly 13 years. I'm a past president of my club, which is the Hertfordshire's Rotary Club that meets in Ware for breakfast. So early mornings are fine for me. And I also have a Paul Harris Award, which is given to outstanding Rotarians. So I'm a very proud possessor of a Paul Harris. So that's my sort of Rotary background.
And can you tell us a bit more about then your background? So you're a teacher. What it is you teach? How
yes.
you got into that?
Right. I was a nursery teacher first of all, and I started my own nursery way back before the state sort of took it over. When my own child, who is now 45, was a little boy. So it's going back a long, long time. And then I branched into secondary education, and for the last 14 years I've been teaching at the John Warner School, I'm really pleased to say they have taken the polio project as their charity for the year, and so the school and the children in it are spearheading this for me. I'm just guiding and they're doing it. So, you know, this is a wonderful thing because we've got the younger people coming through then that know what Rotary's all about. So I actually have retired a second time. I did retire once. And then I went back to do this art A-level. And because I was there, I got asked if I could sort of do a few more hours. And so I was called out of retirement. And since the art A-level, I've actually just completed last week. I got a photography A-level. And I actually got an A in that as well. So that's mainly my background.
And what else are your interests? What do you do in your spare time? Do you do to relax?
I paint, photography. I have an allotment, so I enjoy very much because it's solitude. Rotary is also takes a lot of time if you enjoy it, and I do enjoy it very much because you take part in local events and international events. We go to conventions, so it's a huge network of friends. So I have quite a lot. Music I like, theatre I like. So I come up to London usually once or twice a month because it's not that far for us from Hoddesdon. So yes, quite a lot. So I can certainly feel my retirement.
And what things would you say are most important to you at the moment?
My family, without a doubt. They are... they are my being, really. I've got 3 granddaughters. I've got a son and a daughter. Julian is, 45. He's in the police force and works with young offenders. I've got my daughter-in-law, who's also in the police force, Alison, who's a tremendous support to me because I have an ancient mother who lives alone, and she's 95 and still going strong. Very, very intelligent lady. I have a daughter, Annabelle, and... she's also married to a police officer who is in the helicopter, so hopefully we might get a helicopter across here tonight. They do know I'm here. And 3 granddaughters. Julian has 2. Eleanor is out here with me today, and Annabelle has 1 called Elizabeth. So they are my husband, I've forgotten, is the most precious person in the world. He's here with me as well. He's Myron, and he's, I'd say, was the past district governor of Rotary.
And can you give us some insight into how you met your husband?
Yes, we met at a school. He had come up from Wales. He's a Welsh-speaking Welshman. And he had come up to teach in Stanhope School in Greenford. I had been to school in Greenford. I went to Greenford Grammar. And from there, I actually went back and I was teaching in Greenford. And it was a large school on a large campus. So it had nursery, infants, junior and senior all together. And my friend, oh, it's a funny story, because my friend and I saw these two sort of stonking males over the rails, and she said, oh, she said, look, I'm having the good looking one, you can have the Welsh one who shouts. So I did, I actually got the Welsh one who shouted, and he's still shouting to this day, really, all those years. We've been married 47 years last week. Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
And what hopes and plans do you have for the future?
I'd like to get to our golden wedding. And I had hoped that I would skydive into our golden wedding. I've just fancied trying to get my body into the wedding dress, which is still in the attic, and having a marquee with all my friends there, which we've got numerous friends, and I would like to have skydived into it. I thought that's quite good, because you just see people celebrating golden weddings sitting on settees looking quite decrepit, and I haven't quite got to that stage yet, so I thought I'd do something a bit more dramatic. So that's going to be the sort of immediate plans. And obviously, the age we are, you know, he's 70 and 68, live as long as we possibly can. And still do. I think the secret is to keep involved, in the community and do things, not just stagnate. You know, things do start to hurt as you get older, but you've got to go with it. So I think that's the answer to keeping going.
And what fears might you have?
My husband just came out of hospital. I mean, he really shouldn't be here today, just a week ago. He had not a heart attack, but they've just put a stent in, an emergency stent, and he's got to go for a bypass now. So that came as a bit of a shock, a bolt out of the blue. So my fear would be of losing him, obviously, would be the most terrible thing. But other than that, no. I mean, I think life is good. You know, you... And if you reach out to people and look for the good, you'll find it. I think with too many of us, just, you know, the news is always doom and gloom, but there's plenty of good going on. And I think you really got to go looking for it. And if you want to find bad, you'll find it. But don't, look for the good, would be my advice to anybody. And it's in everyone. Something good in whoever you find. I haven't found a pupil yet that I dislike, because there's something good in all people. So that would be my advice to people.
And how does it feel being one of 2,400 people as part of this project?
I feel so privileged. I really do. I mean, to be part of history, I never thought. I mean, I'm just a sort of, I'm more a follower than a doer normally. My husband is the more dynamic one of the two of us. So to be actually part of history, to be able to say you've stood in Trafalgar Square, I mean, I'm a Londoner. I was brought up in Harrow on the Hill and then Stanmore, so I lived on the end of the Northern Line, so London is my home ground really, and I never thought that I would be standing on a plinth in Trafalgar Square. It's just such an incredible experience. I mean, I was absolutely willing them to choose Anthony Gormley's project when it was being discussed and which one they were going to pick, because I think it's just such an original idea. I'm really looking forward to seeing what they're going to do, what he will do with all the images afterwards, you know, what sort of piece of artwork is going to come out from the end of it, because I can't believe that just 100 people, 2,400 people will stand there for 100 days and then it will be forgotten. Something more has got to come of this. It's a fantastic idea, and I just feel so privileged to have been chosen.
Mm. And how would you describe the emotional journey from hearing about it to then applying, to finding out you had a slot, to preparing, to being here now?
Hearing about it, at the time when I heard about it, that he'd actually got the plinth, I thought, yes, I'm going to apply. And then I, when the chance came to register, I was, I don't know whether I want to do it or not. Suppose I get picked, oh dearie me, you know, because I'm actually quite a shy person, you know. I'm fine in my own safe environment, so in a classroom situation I might be quite extroverted, but I'm not a naturally extroverted person. Then I registered. I thought, oh well, I've done it now, I'll never hear, you know, there's going to be hundreds and hundreds, well, there are thousands and thousands of people that have applied. When it came through the first month, I was rejected, and in a way I felt relieved. I thought, well, there you are, that's, I've tried but I didn't get selected. when it came through, I nearly died. My husband wasn't there. I was on my own, and I had to make the decision, do I do this or don't I? And you needed it fairly urgently. You just want, you know, you didn't have weeks to think about it. Oh, I thought, you can't run for life. You've got to try these things. I would kick myself if I'd rejected it. I know I would. Didn't like the time. I thought the time was, you know, absolutely the graveyard shift, doesn't it, really? But no, I just had to. I've obviously been worrying about it over this last week, thinking, oh, gosh, you know, I'm stuck up on that plinth. I don't like heights. That's another bit of a problem. So, but now I'm here. No, I'm more relaxed about it all now. It's here, and I've got to get on and deal with it. So I'm sure it's going to be a remarkable experience.
So closing comments on it being part of the One Another project at Trafalgar Square 2009.
Oh, I'm lost for words, because I just feel so privileged to be part of such a small number. When you think of the number of people in Great Britain, 2,400 of us have had this opportunity. And you can't put this into words, and I'm just jolly glad that my granddaughter has made the effort. Teenagers usually in bed, aren't they? To come, because I think it's something that she will remember for a long time after, and probably tell her children that my grandmother stood on that plinth when she brings her children and her grandchildren in the future up to London. That plinth will still be there. I won't. But the memory for her will, and I hope she passes this on, that this is a moment in history that, you know, may never, ever be repeated again. So, yes, I just feel so privileged.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.